Our God and Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Father, come this with your power, giving you thanks for this day that you bless us to see. Father, we thank you for watching over us this past week, giving us strength in our limbs, the freedom and opportunity to go about our day-to-day tasks. But most of all, Father, we thank you for the freedom we have only in Jesus Christ. Praise we come together this morning. It is with the express purpose to worship you in spirit and truth, that all that we say and do will be in accordance with your will. And Father, that we would lay aside all worldly cares that we might consider a living new word this morning, for the message as it goes forth, that it may accomplish the purpose for which it was sent forth, to the saving of souls and the strength of lives. Father, we pray for those among us who are sick, especially those who are spiritually sick, that you restore them before it is eternally too late, recognizing that not only are you in a great position, but the Savior of our souls. Pray as well that we might continue to lean not on our own understanding, but rather on your word, that it may guide us, shape us, and mold us to be the persons and Christians that you want us to be. As always, Father, we come and ask that you forgive us for we fall short, that this prayer may be heard in heaven, and that in all things we will continue to honor you, not only in our words, but most of all in our actions, that we might not be simple hearers of your word, but rather schools thereof, that we might prove again that you are at work in our lives. For this is our prayer, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning, we continue our study from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we are in verses 15 through 20. The subject is church discipline. You'll recall that the last time we got together, that we discussed that there are three stages. There are three stages to church discipline. We discussed stage one. Stage one, what is stage one? According to Matthew 18, verses 15 through. Matthew 18, verse 15, says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." What do we say needs to happen at stage one? Who is involved in stage one? Who is involved?
Take it.
And we said to keep it personal. Yeah. So it's you and the brother. And how are we to approach our brother? In what spirit? In love. Man, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says what? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 or verse 2? Galatians chapter 6 says what?
Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, mm-hmm. who are spiritual, you should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It says, if a brother is overtaken in a sin, it says, you are what? Spirit, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, lest you yourself also be tempted. So it requires humility. It requires humility because guess what? You yourself may find yourself in that same sin or fall. And so when we come, it is not arrogantly, it is not to destroy our brother or sister, it is rather in the spirit of meekness, and it requires a special person. You who are spiritual, yeah? So you don't want the unspiritual person because you can become, cause more harm than good, okay? And then stage two says, what? In verse 16, what does verse 16 say? Thank you, Brother Dylan. Verse 16 says what? Of Matthew 18.
But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established.
Thank you. So stage two is to ask others for help. Stage two is ask others for help. Yeah, so you warn yourself personally to that brother or sister. They will not hear you. The Bible says us to take how many? Two or three. Witnesses, why? What's the purpose of the witnesses according to the scripture? What's the purpose of the witnesses according to verse 16? What's their job? That every word may be established. Well, I may listen. Brother Smith asked me to go with him to see Brother John, and he discussed X, Y, Z with them, and this is what happened. Yes? Two or three witnesses. Yeah? And so, if the offender refuses to make things right, then they may feel free to share the burden with two or other, how many? What type of believer? Dependable. You would want, again, according to Galatians chapter 6, you want two or three spiritual people. Yes? What does the word, what does spiritual mean? What does spiritual mean?
Godly minded.
Godly minded. How do you know that godly minded? So, well, how, what qualities should be present in a spiritual person? Spirit humility, I like that. Galatians 6 is one. Yes. Galatians 5, 16 and following says the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, temperance, patience, goodness. You want to be able to see that in the two or three witnesses that you're going to take with you. Yes? You don't want to that argumentative going on there. Amen. You see that? And so, so you want to take two or three, or one or two dependable believers. What for? That by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And that follows the law of Moses. I think it's in Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15, talks about that in a court case, in the legal system, yes, if you go to court or to trial, nine times out of ten, the lawyers on both sides will ask, do you have any witnesses? What's the purpose of the witnesses? To testify of what they've seen or heard to establish some cause in the matter. Say, yes, I heard Brother Dutton, and he ran across the street and asked that lady, can you help him? Well, she's saying he didn't ask her that. So the purpose of the witnesses is to establish what unclean. That makes sense? So, look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Second Corinthians 13, verse 1 says what?
Which reads, this will be the first time I am coming to you. When the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established.
Now, in the Bible, and this is a biblical principle, this is for free. In the Bible and in life, it's always best to have two or three witnesses. What are the two or three witnesses in heaven? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And those three are what? One. Yes? So when we are trying to find out what God's truth is, we should have two or three witnesses. Yes? So you read it in this verse, you find it out in another verse, and then you might find it in another verse. Yes? So, the Bible interprets itself. Did you know that? There's always a companion to every Bible verse. It makes sense? So let me give an example. Two or three witnesses. God told Noah to build the ark. What was the purpose of the ark?
To save
mankind. That's one witness. That was in the Old Testament. Is there a new Testament place of salvation? What's the New Testament version of the ark?
The church.
The church. The church. Yeah. And then what they God used in the Old Testament to save men, not only the ark, but what else? A lot of water. What's the New Testament version of that baptism? Yes. And then Jesus himself came. John the Baptist came. Here's the answers in his profession. He was a baptizer, and he baptized in what? Water. How much water? A lot of water. That's why when you're in the baptistry, you have to be submerged. You see that? By the mouth are two also.
Two remittances.
The manna in the Old Testament was symbolic of God's provision. And now we have the manna in the New Testament where? And the Word of God and the Lord's Supper.
Two or three witnesses.
You see that? So it's all throughout the Bible. Yes. So this discipline is new to us, but it's all throughout the Bible.
God set in place a structure to regulate man's behavior.
Because what's the purpose of church discipline? Is to regulate a horizontal relationship, brother to brother. When brother and brother can't get along, you look to the Word of God to sort that out. We don't have to make it up. It makes sense?
Yeah.
What do we do? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says. And so, at this hearing, you have increased publicity and fraternal matters. What is fraternal? Fraternity is brother to brother. You hear a sorority. What's a sorority? What's a sorority? Anybody ever heard that word? That's a group of ladies or women. Yeah, you go to college or university, they will have a sorority, Delta, Beta, Sigma. And then a fraternity is what? With the brothers, men. Yes? So, we are increased the publicity and fraternal matters in Matthew 18. 16, and watch this now, the elders are what? Not the disfellowshipping committee. What's for needs for God in the church? You know, we had a meeting back there, and we decided to get rid of a few folk and just make an announcement. Does the Bible give authority for that? No. The elders are not the disfellowshipping committee and have no right to this fellowship exclusively. There's nowhere in scripture that give the elders the authority to do that by themselves. I know we've seen it done, perhaps I've heard about it, church abuse, amen. And so when sin is not dealt with honestly, what happens? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:6, a little leaven does what? Leavens the whole month. It's like cancer. If you don't treat it when it's small, it's going to spread and infect the whole body. And it's the same thing in the church. When people's behavior is left unchecked, they will spread. Because they say, well, if she can get away, if I can get away. Huh? And so, and if the brother refuses to repent, what does repent mean? What does repent mean?
Change
your mind. Where does repentance take place? Where does it start? Starts in the mind. I've got to make a decision up here to change my behavior. Yeah? Some people only repent because they get caught. Huh? Two different types of repentance. Worldly repentance. And what's the second one the Bible talks about? Godly repentance. Yeah, I'm only repenting because you told me. Huh? What did David, you remember David in the Old Testament when he sinned with Bathsheba? Huh? That was a public sin. And the Lord sent who?
Nathan.
Sent Nathan. And what did Nathan do? Did Nathan come and say, listen, David, you got a problem? Did David repent right away? No. So you have to tell him that story about that little ewe lamb. David got mad. This man had this lamb, and this man came to talk it. Is there any good lamb? And David got mad. And then what did David get right away? No. What did Nathan tell him? You're the man. There's still that sheep. Huh? And then he wrote the 51st Psalm. Bring me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Yeah. He was genuinely remorseful. He was genuinely remorseful. And repentance is a change of mind with a view to change your actions. It's a difference between reporting and repenting. Because you might be just getting up and, well, if I had sinned, what's the problem with that? The Bible says, Romans 3:23, how many have sinned? All have sinned. Sometimes we sin and don't even realize it. Yeah, so God puts in place provision to help man out in those circumstances. And so, if the brother refuses to repent, I go on to him, he says, get out of here. We take two or three witnesses, and he says, get out of here. What are we to do? I'm not going back down here. What does the book say? What does the book say? To do what? To take it to the church. Verse 17. And if he refuses to hear, how many? Them. The them is the you and the two and three witnesses in verse number 16. What action is to be taken? We take it to stage three. Stage three. Ask the church for help. Remember, our goal is not the winning of a case, but what? The winning of a brother. You know what sometimes happens? Sometimes we have an agenda. Sometimes we have an agenda. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we as human beings have an agenda. We feel that I'm right and he's wrong. Yes? That may work in the world, where you're trying to win a case in court. But this is not that type of court. This is not the type of matter. Because what am I trying to win? I'm not trying to win my part or my case. I'm trying to win my brother because our soul is at stake. That takes on a little different dynamic because this might not happen right away. It might take a long time to happen. Yeah? Many years ago, when I was back home in Florida, a young Christian, the men got together, and every year we had vacation Bible school during the summer time. And we always had it during the week in the evening time. So we said, this year we want to do it during the day time because school is out and we want to do something different this year. We made an announcement to the congregation. There was one family that was not happy about that. One sister. Bam. So how does she react? Well, I came to church on Sunday. This sister would normally speak and greet me. And she was walking by. When I came up that aisle, she was going on that aisle and said, kiss at me. Is something wrong? Because I get the feeling that something's off here. Matthew 18:15, I went to my sister. Sister, is everything okay? She flew off the handle. I'm sick and tired of you.
man, I'm here, and this and that. I said, well, what's good? Help me understand. She said, you all didn't consider me and my daughter change that vacation Bible school with my sister. You know, we decided, oh, no. If I've done something wrong, help me to understand, because I'm sorry I didn't mean to offend you. She wasn't happy. What did I do?
You have to tell, that is why we have to go to the second.
Two or three witnesses. I took two or three witnesses. After service, I asked that sister, I said, can I meet with you? Took two or three witnesses, and she just bore it all. Eventually, that was resolved. But that could have taken a little different turn. Yes, because sometimes what happens is, when we get offended, we tell everybody except the person who's offended.
That's right.
We jump to conclusions, we make assumptions, huh? And sometimes we have an agenda. Because at the end of the day, I want you to go to heaven, and how, what I think and how I feel is not as important as what, how it affected you. You see that? Because I want to bring peace. I want to do what God commanded me to do. Yeah? So eventually we resolved that there should be back in fellowship, and that was resolved. Yes? Say it's true. Take it to the church. The Bible says what? In verse number, where are we?
18.
Verse 17. If he refuses, tell it to who? To the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a like a heathen or tax collector. So what started as a private problem between two people is now out in the open for the whole church to see. Now you remember we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. What was the situation in 1 Corinthians 5? Yes.
Please, I always try to refer sometimes by practice to tax collectors.
Tax collector, what more?
Yeah.
Who was the tax collector in the Bible? Matthew. Now, do you know the tax collecting?
He collects money from the public,
So, put yourself in the shoes of the people that Jesus is speaking to in the Gospel of Matthew. Who was occupying Jerusalem, or who was running things during Jesus' day in Matthew? Who were in charge? The Romans. These were not Christians. And Matthew, who was a Jew, was working for the Roman government. Huh? Now in the UK that we live in now, it's HMRC, Her Majesty's or His Majesty's, no. Revenue and Customs. So the more you make, the more they take. More money you make today, the more money they take. Yes? And so, here, a good Jew would not be working because they looked at the Romans as enemies. And most tax collectors in Jesus' day not only collected money for the government, but they were taking a cut for themselves. I hope you ask me to hold you or lend you some money, that's what you want. I want a little extra off the top. That's human nature. Yeah? So imagine when Jesus was banned and converted this tax collector. Huh? But you remember what Matthew said? What did Matthew tell Jesus? He said he gave back, or he gave back even more. And so, a tax collector was looked down upon. In America, it's the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. And the IRS, just like HMRC, have the power to seize everything you own. Now, if you don't pay your tax here, Guess what they're going to do? They're going to send somebody looking for you. They'll shut you down. Yeah? So imagine somebody from HMRC saying,
"Oh, Miss Hannah, can I come over your house?"
Are you going to invite them over your house? No. Somebody said no. Why not? You might start asking questions. I thought you said you only had one job, but you got three. So where's my three sets of money? You see that? And so the tax collector was not someone that you were going to invite into your home. And what's a healer? What's a healer? Yeah. Yes.
Stage 3, because it's out in public.
You know, the neighbors knew, you knew, the world knows. We can't have stage one. It's too late for stage one. It's too late. It's no longer private. That makes sense. It's out there. You see that? And so the matter is, what does it mean to the whole church? What do you think that means? The whole church. Take it to the whole church. Suppose that brother, if the brother is living in sin, yeah, living with some woman that he's not married to, and you're going down there, I'm going, you're taking two or three witnesses, it says to take it to the whole church. He's no longer coming to church. So what does it mean, take it to the whole church?
Bring it to the open.
Yeah, it's in the open. We all know about it. The whole church beats a path to that brother's door. Can you imagine? You wake up one morning and the whole church is standing outside your house. And everybody's doing, what we're doing in there for? We're pleading for you to repent and come back. What impact would that have on you? How would you, what would you think? You might tell me, Mom, I can't do it. You need to get yourself right. You need to keep living like this. God expects more from you. And you need to get to heaven. You see that?
Brother, you know, if, thank God and thank you for this lesson. If the church goes through this process, everybody will be saved.
Everyone will be saved.
Yes.
And how likely would you be to sing or to stay in that sin?
Like you would have anybody singing. It's a probability that I cannot tell. Because we face different circumstances. But I'm just saying the process. The process is so accommodating to that. It would be very same to lose the brother.
Imagine a person is so caught up in sin, and quite often what happens is they say the church doesn't care. Nobody came to visit, nobody called, nobody saw me, nobody cares. But now the whole church is standing outside your door. Say, come along with me. Come along with me. Because it's better than here than it's better out here. You see that? And so when the church is informed, the whole church speaks a path to this individual's door. It is a body. Remember what Jesus said earlier. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, that's spiritual surgery. Huh? Spiritual surgery. You know what our problem is? There are warning signs. God always sends us a warning sign. Did you know that? Bottom line of two or three bits is you read in the Bible, and you ever had a situation where the preacher preaches a sermon about something you're going through right there, and then there's a second witness. And then somebody comes up to you and says, I've been thinking about you because X, Y, Z, that's the third witness. And so it is the body that cuts off the offending hand. That man cannot say what? That nobody cares why. Because everybody cares. But you know what our problem is again? We would rather keep the friendship than do the right thing. I don't want that brother to not like me, so I'm not good. But you have to do it. Because Galatians 6,
one, say us, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because you're, well, I never did that. I was never. How many times? How many of us have ever said that? I was never. And you said, oh my Lord, it's me. It's happening in my house. Because Satan knows your strengths and Satan knows your weaknesses. Huh? And if by the time the matter comes to the Hill Church, the offender has not yet changed his mind and repented, then he must be what? Disciplined. Yeah? So at no point in either of these three stages have we mentioned the word disfellowship. In the New Testament, the Bible doesn't say, if in verse 15, if he refuses to hear you, disfellowship him. In other words, the first thing we think about getting rid of him, you know, that person's going to get rid of that troublemaker. You know, we don't need that in here, because, you know, we want pure people. You get that mindset sometimes too. But the church is made up of imperfect people. Every chair is a stretcher. Huh? You go to the hospital, the, what is it? The A&E, they call it A&E. They call it back home emergency. Huh? Every chair is a stretcher. Sick folk come to the hospital. This, the church is a hospital. Don't act like you don't have a problem. Huh? So, he cannot be treated as a spiritual brother. Why? Because he has forfeited that position. He cannot be treated as a spiritual brother because he has forfeited, he has given up his right to that position. Huh? What does the Bible say? If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. So if I'm living wrong and I'm trying to lead you, that's not going to work. I want you to come to me and say, brother, you have sinned. Tell me the truth. But you know what? Thank you so much. That's not my business. You know, nobody told me. I didn't see it. You didn't have to see it. You're the third witness. Yes. Yes.
What about someone done something?
Yes.
And you go to her.
Yes.
And you explain it to her sister. What's done to me, I think it's a little bit strange. So, I want to put things in good position.
Yes.
And she started angry. And hung the phone.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, she will call another sister and explain things to her. So this, instead you hang the phone, why you don't have patience to listen to your sister, the one love you, because maybe she loves you, that's why she came to you.
Yes.
To put things in. And you angry, you put the phone on off, and then you go to another sister to explain everything to her. So this, like this, how can, if someone do something that I think is not nice, I can go to her and explain to her? How can I do that?
And that happens. So again, we are emotional people. Sometimes we don't think rational, and we react the wrong way sometimes. So for you, if you are the one that's offended and you're trying to make me in trouble, that will require for you to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, so that if that sister calls somebody else, prayerfully whoever she calls is a spiritual sister to say the same thing I talked about the last time. Somebody calls me, somebody calls you and says, such and such happened with Sister Hannah and me. What's my next question to that person who's called me? Have you
So it will hurt. Tom, stop it right there. And if they say no, that conversation stops right there. Listen, you need to get that sold up with Sister Hannah. I'm going to be praying for you. Goodbye. But you know what we did? Well, what happened? Girl, I do. Hannah was like that. No, you didn't hear it from me because, huh? And then the next thing you tell two people, and they tell two people, and they tell two people. You see? So we can stop that. So for you, if that doesn't work, you take it to stage two. What's stage two? What's your job? Two or three reasons. Sister Sunsu, Sister Sunsu, would you be willing to go with me to speak to my sister? And here's the situation. I'm not here to take sides. I just want you to come with me so we can make sure that we're doing this God's way. Yes.
All the church, my brother went with me. He treated this girl's class in the area of teaching.
Okay.
He had two scenarios and see how we handle it. Because I won't say percentage of 90% or 70% of the church, but majority of the church will not take this process.
Yeah.
And why we don't take this process, there are a lot of things that are going to hit. And secondly, when you're handling matters, the approach matters. Sometimes you are mentor.
Yes.
Without getting the fact of what you have done.
Yes.
Sometimes we like something you are not too caring. That you don't need to find me.
Yes, yes.
Like, I'm not trying to work with the system of UK.
Yes.
That you are your own, not something, not care. You don't need to put it for that one.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
So we need to look into it and do the scenario over there and see how we handle the matters.
Mm-hmm.
We have different people with different nature.
Yeah.
The way high a particular person in the church is mature spiritually. Handle matters.
Yeah.
Like one friend from some that just came in, just say 2 days or 3 days, and he did something wrong, and we need him like that. He had done something wrong.
Yeah.
If you brothers have done something wrong, the church can lay for the day you have moved to my church in that level.
Yeah.
So that the area will can scenario of discipline. I always say that every one of us are equal.
Yeah.
And when we are not equal in time of coming into the bracket, the church can be as young as this, but it's 10 years in the church.
Yeah.
I might be 50 years old, but I just came today in the church.
Yeah.
I'm not equal with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mature to me spiritually that I do. That was back in March 20 was the stage you come to teach them.
Yeah.
But they're just coming in.
Yeah.
So at this at dinner, you should look at scenarios about discipline. If there's a plan for the next week, no teaching, no talk, scenarios, and let's see how we handle it.
Yeah.
But is that to say or teach and
to practice? One of the things whenever we start studying lessons like these, even marriage, divorce, and remarriage, everybody thinks that their situation is unique. And I have a right to. Because you're absolutely right, Brother Lucky. Culture plays a part because you might think because age, the number of years you've been in the church is a factor, but guess what? This principle applies everywhere and in every culture and every circumstance. God is not a respecter of persons. You see? So, because it's just like in the human body, God has created the human body to be a self-healing mechanism. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you cut yourself, I'm not a medical professional, when you cut yourself, you start to bleed, but at the same time, the body recognizes that something is wrong and creates antibodies, clotting agents within the blood itself, and the body will start to try to heal itself. The same thing in the church. God created the church to be a self-healing mechanism. We don't have to go outside the church to figure out how things are done. He has already given us the tools and mechanisms to make that possible. Yes? So The problem is, and we'll talk about that towards the end of this study, why don't we practice church discipline? There are a number of factors. And spiritual immaturity, we don't want to offend anybody, we don't feel like we have the right to do a number of things. But at the same time, there's a lot of abuse that has taken place. Yeah. Lack of study. Yeah. A lack of understanding of what the scriptures actually say. So next week we'll pick up, because there's more to this. This is a very important topic. But it is one that impacts the whole church. So we must take our time to be understanding these things. Take good notes. Ask lots of questions. Yes.